Welcome to Pep Talks. I'm Eddie Pepitone here with Steve Lally.
Yo.
And we are ready to rock and roll. A lot of people take this week off. It's Thanksgiving week. And, you know, I don't do that. I'm performing a couple of nights this week. I just did another podcast. Now I'm doing this podcast. It's the opposite for me. You know what I mean? Like, when there's a holiday, I work harder. Like, for instance, this Christmas, I am just going to write. I won't even have time to open my presents. I'm going to write all my thoughts, a stream of consciousness thing, and then I'm going to dig. I'm going to help dig graves. That's one of the things. It's a Christmas tradition. I dig graves. Do you work during the holidays? I'm actually kidding.
I'm a human treadmill. I just go, and then I drop. You know, and I don't sleep. I just do 24 hours a day, and then I just eventually just drop wherever I'm at, you know,
Mm-hmm. I collapse in bakeries a lot. I don't know what that is. I'm like, give me a Napoleon. By the way, so many people collapse in bakeries and die of heart attacks because of the cream. Think about it, everybody. Because of the cream and the butter.
Veganism.
I'm vegan. I would have collapsed in a bakery if I didn't go vegan. And I didn't go vegan because of that. I went vegan because compassion toward animals.
But do you miss the cream? Do you miss the...
I do. I do, but vegan substitutes are great. Their own unhealthy substitutes. I say unhealthy because it doesn't harm animals, but shit, I'm still addicted to sugar.
Right. Okay, so give us some vegan alternatives to like a cream-filled donut.
Well, they have vegan whipped cream. They have vegan donuts. You could still eat that shit. And it is shit, you know, but I like eating. I have vegan chocolate pudding, which isn't good for me, but I do it because I want my really old age to be painful because it builds character. I don't know if you know, but pain builds character. So if I keep eating sugar, I'm going to build a lot of character eventually because I am going to be behind the eight ball.
One tough cookie. You know the
cookie. You see what he did there? You can't do it. You're civilians. You're civilians. And I've said this before, but if you're not in show business, you're a coward. If you're not in show business, you're a coward. And I'm including first responders.
I just get an image of you diving into that cave to save those kids, being the cave diver in the made-for-TV movie.
I don't have to because I do stand-up. You do stand up. That we put ourselves on the line more than any first responder ever could, don't you think?
I do, dude. I've been having like PTSD. I had some.
Have you?
Yeah.
What's going on? I thought you're not a PTSD guy. You're not
dude,
a panic attack.
The last five shows I've done have all been bad. And I know you're so
I've
excited.
Gotten on, I've
you're
gotten
so
on.
Excited.
No, no. I relate to it. I've gotten on roles like that. I don't know if you call that a role, but I have gotten. You know, like you have a bad show and you go, okay, now I'm going to kick ass.
Right.
Then you have another bad show. And then your confidence just sinks into what I like to call hell or Dante.
Yeah.
What Dante and read Allegria Dante. He was an Italian who lived in, I think it was the 15th or 16th century. And he wrote about the nine circles of hell.
Which circle do you get to? When you're in that, because
oh, that's close to ninth circle.
That's close. So what did you just let me pick your brain and then I'll explain. Mm-hmm. What did you do to get just kept going and you got out of it or yeah. How did you?
Oh, you have to. You well,
go all the
I
way
don't know
through.
If this is your problem, but you have to perform a lot. In other words, when you're in a slump, you have to
take as many at bats as you
yeah.
can.
That's the okay. way to do it. I mean, maybe somebody would say if you're performing a ton and you're starting to take some time off, but I don't think you're performing a ton, right?
No, I had taken a month off.
It's hard to do what you're doing, not performing a lot.
Yeah, and I'd taken a month off, and then I went to New York and did that thing, and it went bad. It went badly.
What happened? Did you? I thought you had a good show.
I had a great spot on a
Santa
great
Barbara.
Show. Oh, that was also bad. I mean, the audience.
Oh shit!
Well, the audience laughed
you
and everything, but I.
The
you
audience
know, I like
laughed.
To, look, you know, I like to go on. A show when I'm getting paid and it's a full packed, sold out audience.
Sold out.
I have a great spot. I have the best spot on the show.
Right.
And
down the middle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And And I just, it wasn't myself. I wasn't myself. I actually was afraid. Mm-hmm. I was actually standing up there afraid to talk, to say anything to the audience that I actually really meant, you know, which is like,
oh yeah,
you know, which is.
I was just talking about that on Brody's podcast. Do I do other podcasts? Yes, I do. Yes, I do.
What? So what did you say? What?
Wait, I just want to talk to the, yeah, I do other podcasts. No, I just want to say to the audience, you know, but about what? Because I forgot. I got so into that character. The only reason that I have somewhat of memory loss is because of my passion. But what were we talking
about? It doesn't matter.
Yes, it does.
Yeah,
tell me.
So I'm in this like I'm Goose or something. I'm some PTSD
wow.
warrior who came back and I, you know, crazy shit. But I did three shows yesterday. So I went on three times yesterday.
How'd that go?
By the second time, I started feeling like myself again a little. But I could still see that I wasn't operating with my full five gears. Maybe I got out of, because I couldn't, with a PTSD, I couldn't get out of first gear. I was stuck in first gear. And by the second show I did last night, I started getting my groove back a little. I started saying, but I don't know what it is, man. I have no idea what it is.
You know what, though? This is the way I looked at it. This is the way I look at not doing well, is that it's a big teacher. It's a big teacher. Like, you're in it for the long haul.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
You know, I myself, I'm 60 now, and I said, and I mean this, I'm giving myself 80 to make it in this business. Then I'm going to teach. So I do have a plan B. I'm only
That's
going
good.
To 80.
This is what your parent, your dad's probably really happy about that.
Yeah.
That you have a backup plan.
I have a backup. My dad, by the way, he is always like, oh, you're 60. You should support yourself. I'm not going to wire you any money. I'm like, 60? I should support myself? Really? Hard ass. But as a teacher, because what it does, dude, is it, the only thing you can do with that is work hard. Work harder, right? Is look at that. What do you tape your sets?
Why not? Occasionally, I do. Occasionally.
Why? Yeah. Well, okay. Occasionally, but you know, you have to like just go. Okay, I'm not making people laugh. I think we know in our heart of hearts, as comics, we know in our heart of hearts when we're not doing well and why. I think we know why we're not doing well.
I know exactly why.
Oh, okay.
I was not doing
well. So you
well.
Have to?
I was afraid. It was an emotional. It wasn't a show that I had a bad set. Sometimes I'll have a set where people don't laugh, but I know I had a good set. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because I know I did something bold, or I took a big swing and missed.
Yeah.
But it's productive because it's right. going to make me funnier than
I know
time.
What you're saying.
These shows are not like that. These shows are like cowardly. Fucking sniveling, cowardly, slinking back into material from 15 years ago and, you know, getting a few big laughs here and there, but feeling like...
See, the key to being a really great stand-up is to be authentic to yourself. And I was talking about that on Brody's podcast. And it's not easy to do. It's not easy to do to be yourself because we think audiences want a certain thing. And it depends on where we are. You were in Santa Barbara. Maybe you're like, oh, this is a conservative crowd. I don't want to talk. Is that what happened? What happened? Why were you scared in Santa Barbara?
Fuck, man. I got a couple,
it's okay.
I got a couple huge laughs up front. And then I said something that I thought would get a laugh because it was in the moment and it didn't.
And you went downhill.
And I just went downhill. I never recovered. I actually started thinking, like, I don't really
That's
want to be
when
here. I don't want to be here right now.
Yeah.
Like, I want to be home.
Yeah, I don't want to be here either. But that's when you have to say, you be in the present moment with that. You go, holy shit.
Yeah.
That usually gets a laugh. And it didn't. Folks, this could go downhill quick. Like verbalizing.
Just say everything you're thinking, basically.
Well, verbalizing your insecurity so it doesn't eat at you, you know? Do you know what I mean? Like being in the present moment. Holy shit, folks. you know, I thought that was going to get a big laugh. So we may be in for a rough ride here.
I did say something like that.
Oh, you did?
But it didn't pull me out of it. It just kept being like an infinite regression and just down and down. And then
did you prepare for the set?
Oh, yeah. But then I went into some material I know is funny. Mm-hmm. This is what the problem is. I went into some material I know
how
was
to do
funny.
What? How to do?
I was not. It did okay, but it was not delivered with Kavanaugh. It wasn't delivered with like I. They could tell on my face I didn't want to be there. And you know, it was also 150 degrees in the room, which didn't help.
Oh, that's terrible.
I'm not going to blame it on that though, because it's not really the.
No, if it's not 250, you can't.
No,
anything below 250 Fahrenheit
is.
It's you.
Yeah, it was
kidding.
Me. So, you know, and it just was what it was. So I did these shows yesterday, and I basically went on and I started talking about how I've been terrified of going on stage and how...
So you were talking about
it.
Yeah, well, that's what... I think that's good.
That made me feel better. Yeah, it was good.
Like, I just came up with the bit... Emma, do you remember that bit that you said, oh, you got to use that? Do you remember that? I know. Fuck. Well, I could watch Brody's podcast.
Yeah, you'll have to do that. See, because you don't remember.
But it was a good bit. And Sam said, Brody said, are you doing that bit? And I go, no, I just came up with it. And he was like, well, there you go. You got a bit. And why I'm bringing that up is that maybe you have to spend, and I'm talking to myself too, more time writing. Writing bits that you really like.
Right.
That make you feel good about yourself. Fuck the old stuff. What I think the teacher is here is you need to write good new material and stuff that
I do. No, I do. I do. And I have it. I just was chickened out. I was a pussy. I chickened out. I chickened out on
why did you chicken out?
Because I got scared. I got cowardly, and I'm not used to that. I'm not used to that feeling. That feeling is alien to me.
Oh, okay.
Okay?
Like I wonder why. Because I was saying earlier that confidence comes and goes, man. And that's why when you perform a lot, you just get used to letting it go. Like, you just get used to going, here we fucking go, and I don't care. You know, like, there's at some point you're going to realize I'm not going to die in front of this crowd. Yeah. They're not going to, like, hold me down. They're not going to hold me down and give me a mohawk. Or they're not going to, you know.
It's Eye of the Tiger, right? Eye of the Tiger.
Eye of the Tiger when you perform a lot.
Right.
You know what I mean? You're just like, boom, you know, here we go.
Yeah, it's alien to me to not feel that, to not feel that killer instinct, to not feel that killer instinct, and to know I've got them, and I could say what I want and take them where I want to go. So the fact that I hadn't felt that, and that I feel this terror, almost like something blocking me, something in front of me blocking my emotion, blocking my expression, right? Weird, and I'm not used to feeling that.
I wonder why. Maybe what's going on too, and this is always a thing, is that you're going to another level. Like, and whenever you go to another level, like you're like, okay, I'm leaving this Steve behind, and I'm notching up my career. Another level is we often self-sabotage that, even unconsciously, because we're taught by every mechanism in the world to keep ourselves down. That's just how it is. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Do you get that?
Yeah, and that's even more terrifying because I don't have... I can understand if it's not because I'm not doing stand-up enough and I'm out of, you know, not well. But that's snake shedding its skin thing.
Yes.
You know, transformation.
So transformation is so painful, and that's what I tell my audience. Transformation is very, very painful. When you are shedding your skin, as Steve Lally is doing, and this is a man who hasn't gotten laid since an accident, an unfortunate accident.
And that could have something to do with it.
That he did not, it was not his fault, the accident. And he has not had sex since that accident, and there's a direct correlation
between that and not having my mojo. Maybe if I just got laid like Billy Bibbit in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest. You know, he's stuttering and he comes out not stuttering.
Mac, 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 Billy Bibbit, by the way, if you haven't seen One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, first of all, you're no friend of mine. Okay? That's number one. I watch the Billy Bibbit scene in One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest every night before I go to sleep.
Which scene, Eddie?
In the bathroom. And I'm not going to spoil for people when Bibbit does something horrific in the bathroom. I watch that every night before I go to bed.
I don't even know what to say. It didn't happen in the bathroom. I hate to break it to you. It wasn't in the bathroom.
Hey, look.
That it happened.
Everything happens in the bathroom as far as I'm concerned. Yeah, confidence is something that, you know, wanes. It ebbs and flows until you are really willing to be great. I'm laughing at myself because that's like such a self-help thing to say, you know. And I remember reading a quote by Nelson Mandela, saying, "We are afraid of our greatness, not our weaknesses," or something like that. And I really believe that it is true, you know. Like, becoming what I've become is just not easy. I don't recommend it. Okay, this type of greatness that you see week in and week out on this podcast, there's so much pain involved. I don't recommend it for you. Stay in your dead-end job. Stay in the relationships that aren't working. Stay in your comfort zone because you don't have the courage that I have and that Steve is trying to get back. I think this is a great time for an ad. We have great sponsors, and we're going to do Zuko.
Oh, yeah.
Beard ointment first.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Here we go.
Back when I had a beard.
You know, by the way, these are written by our producer, Matt Rossimito. And Matt Rossimito writes, and we want to thank him. And these are real ads.
And by the way, even though Eddie and I, neither of us have a beard, and even though
I sort of have one today.
Kind of.
I would love to grow a beard, but commercially. By the way, I just want to tell people, I filmed a network TV show last week.
Not to brag.
Called Speechless. Did I talk about that? I made Minnie Driver laugh, okay? As a guest star. I was a guest star. I made Minnie Driver laugh.
What did you say to her to make her laugh?
I just was improvising some lines, and she's not an easy laugh. She's a real pro. And that's the kind of thing I'm talking about that you cannot relate to. Go ahead.
Zuko's Beard Ointment, just in time for Black Friday. Ladies and gentlemen, save 34 cents on the popular Big Boy bottle of beard ointment, only from Zuko. 34 cents is enough to make Jamie Farr's popularized match character, Maxwell Q. Klinger, hop out of his stockings. Did you know that Alan Alda's gravy character grew so ravenously that he had to shove between each...
Gravy?
Yeah. Did you know that Alan Alda's gravy catcher?
Oh, gravy catcher.
Gravy
That's
catcher.
A beard.
Gravy
you
catcher.
You said gravy character.
I should have read these before we got in here. Did you know that Alan Alda's gravy catcher grew so ravenously that he had to shave between each take? And in long scenes, you can actually watch his 5 o'clock shadow grow to a burly brush. The fact that an Italian could grow such a superfluous mug scrub was a blatant affront to Farr's Lebanese heritage, forcing Farr into an implausible off-camera without regime conceived by MASH co-star and fellow fitness fiend and beardless wonder Larry Linville, a.k.a. Frank Burns. In several scenes of the season, 7, you could see Farr's magnificent physique, a glistening display of human hard meats. Whether your gnarly nasal napkin is a Klinger or a Hawkeye, keep it as smooth, as silky, as Loretta Swift's lingerie in MASH episode 403 entitled Bloody Murdergasm. Degrease your chin, beast, with Zuko's. Boy, Matt, thank you, Matt. And thank you, Zuko's, for not making that easy to read.
Zuko beard ointment, everybody. We also got a couple of calls this week. And remember, if you want to call in, please call in and leave a comment. To me and Steve, just leave a nice message, or, you know, just a message, a nice message. 424 424-262-0904 is the number. 424-262-0904. And let's see. I'm not sure where I left off last time. Let's try this one.
Hey, Eddie. I heard you talking about the challenges or the mistakes in dating someone twice your age, especially when you're young. I met my now wife when I was 20. She was 37. We've been together for 20 years. And everything's awesome, but it's weird because she had a daughter who is almost my age. So the result of that is for the last 20 years, I've had a stepdaughter who is a year younger than me. But that stepdaughter married a guy who's almost as old as my wife. So I'm 40 now. He's in his 50s. He had multiple children before he met my stepdaughter, and one of them just had a kid. So that looks to me like I'm now a step-great-grandfather at the age of 40. Most things have been beautiful, but life's fucking weird.
Wow. That was an incredible call. That felt like an independent film, that phone call.
Definitely. Made for cable.
Just no, it felt like a real interesting film, like such an unorthodox lifestyle, which I've lived. And I don't recommend the lifestyle I have lived to you people because, again, it takes transformation. And you're comfortable watching your Netflix shows and eating pudding. You know what? You know, that was an incredible call. Thank you. He didn't leave his name, which is, you know, I don't blame him. No, but that was a great call. And I was saying that, do you remember me talking about dating?
Was that on the last one?
Yeah, I think it was. And you know, when you date someone twice your age, it's hard. It's hard.
Well, you had your heart broken. That's right.
By that, I had my heart broken, but I also just wasn't ready. And this gentleman, obviously, that's not the case all the time. As in everything, everything is not black and white, except on a piano, right? And these, by the way, these aren't jokes.
That's a meme. Is that a meme? That should be a meme.
I don't know what a meme is. I've heard it used. What is a meme?
It's not important.
It's not important. It's not important. You know what is important?
Chris Hedges.
Well, we know that. But anyway, yeah, so it's not black and white because he did meet someone who was 17 years older than him. And
it worked.
It's been beautiful. But that was weird that his kid, his stepkid, was 1 year younger than him. Right?
Man.
And it's been pretty good. And then she married someone older, right?
Right.
Yeah. Did you follow it?
Yeah, I did. My buddy he married a woman who's 10 years younger, but she looks 20 years younger. She looks really young.
Right. So he said, what skin products are she using?
I think she's Asian. I don't think it has product.
Right.
I think it's just ethnicity. And he told me, we don't go out in public anymore because people look at us weird. Because
really?
He's 60, and she's however old she is and looks much younger. So when they go out in public, he feels strange.
Well, I would say that's not good because, first of all, you have to go out in public when you want to, you know? There are people – you have to go out, right?
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
But what does he do? How does he not go out in
public? He says it's great. He says he loves her, and they have great companionship, and, you know – they care about each other. They enjoy each other's company. But he said,
So what I'm saying though, that it's not black and white. And a lot of people have those relationships and they work out. But I think that on the whole, it's difficult. That, you know, you don't have the same references. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, well,
like
when
that.
These four folks go out in public, mm-hmm. husband and wife, stepdaughter and husband. I mean, people are probably it's got to, you know, maybe it's strange. That's all I'm saying.
All right. We're going to listen to another message. But thank you for that message. It was great. Like I said, it's an independent film. I see in the leads, I see Bruce Dern in there. I see Bruce Dern.
Minnie Driver, maybe?
Minnie Driver, maybe. Yeah. Definitely Parker Posey. She's the queen of indie films, I read. She's got a biography out. Anybody a Parker Posey fan? Call the number below if you are. Call the number below. Okay. Here we go. Another call. I forgot what this one was.
Hey, Eddie. It's Ryan again. Really was hoping to get you, but got your voicemail again. Anyway, something that a lot of people don't talk about when they're talking about the corporate greed and corruption is that a lot of companies use offshore bank accounts and pay into taxes in other countries other than our own. So if a lot of these companies like Apple, Amazon, et cetera, paid into our own tax brackets and gave back to the people that actually work here, I think that would help our country a lot, first and foremost. But that's not even talked about. In fact, it was brought up during the presidential debate, and Donald Trump said he was smart for dodging taxes. Well, I think that needs to be addressed so we can start to help the folks here. Let me know what you think, and Steve, I hope you've been laid by now. Bye.
I like Ryan. Ryan is funny. He's always like,
is that he's trying to get a hold of you?
Yeah, Eddie, I'm so disappointed I got your voicemail, knowing that this is a voicemail number. But Ryan, maybe you will get me one day. Maybe I will pick up this Google voicemail. But by the way, what Ryan's talking about is fucking, first of all, companies not paying their taxes like Apple, which I think is hilarious because Apple comes off like, and they all do, all these fucking corporate entities come off like, you know, everything's for you. And Apple particularly comes off like that. They're like, innovation. I love that. Innovation. Technology. We're growing so you can grow. You know, meanwhile, these motherfuckers don't pay any taxes. He's absolutely right that I implore everybody to Google and read the Panama Papers. Maybe not read summaries. You could go to The Intercept, Glenn Greenwald, the Panama Papers, which is all about rich people who, by the way, write the tax laws. Rich people write the tax laws. They pay off our politicians who were bought and paid for largely. There's a little hope with a couple of politicians like Ocasio, who just got elected. But the rich don't pay taxes. You know, Trump says that I'm smart for not paying taxes because he's a fucking criminal. He's a criminal. And I'll tell you what he's good at. He's good at playing to the little guy moron who's like, yeah, yeah, yeah. He is smart. He knows what the fuck he's doing. Meanwhile, the little guy is getting screwed. I mean, it's like he's getting screwed like a incredible gangbang sponsored by Diet Coke. Do you know what I mean? So what's your take on it? You know what I mean? Like, so, yeah, these people don't pay taxes. Amazon, they never pay their fucking taxes. And Trump recently, the biggest tax cut for rich people ever, and it's going to kill us. It's going to kill us. It's going to kill working people. It's going to kill middle-income people. And it's going to collapse the economy partly, too. What do you think, Steve?
Trade deals. The NAFTA, and that they were trying to push the TPP on us. I mean, these are the deals that sent American businesses, that deregulated American businesses and allowed us to send them all overseas so that they can shelter that and rewrite the laws so that they don't have to be part of the economy. So they can be shielded and sheltered from, you know, wage issue, you know, paying a fair wage to their employees. Creating jobs for Americans. I mean, this is so you have to get like a FDR to come along and break up these trade deals.
Do you know what FDR said when he threw the working class some bones during the Great Depression? He said to his fellow capitalists, because FDR comes from the aristocratic class as well, he said, look, we have to give them something or else they're going to take everything. Meaning there's going to be a full scale.
And that's where we're at now.
That's where we're at now. And we'll see what happens. I think it's going to be horrible. It's going to be bloody. It's going to be, we'll see who survives. Good luck to everybody out there, particularly you in gated communities. Here's another message.
Hey, Peppertone. It's Ray Ray from Indiana. Just listened to to your latest podcast. Been listening to you for a minute now. And I know Todd Glass loves you, and I do too. And I love me some James Sidonian. I'd love for you to call me back, if at all possible.
Oh, yeah. We heard this one already. Sorry, folks. By the way, I don't want any criticism about, you know, how fucked up this is professionally. This is not fucked up. It's gritty. What you're seeing is street art. This is like graffiti. This is graffiti. Okay? You want a podcast that runs smoothly? You go somewhere else. This is grit. We're flying by the heat.
Unpolished.
This is unpolished.
There's no veneer on this podcast.
There's no patina of civilized behavior. It's raw passion.
Completely disorganized.
All right, let's see. What else do we have here? Here we go.
Oh, my God, Eddie. Okay, this is Michael Pinchera. I left you the voicemail about my wife, who is 17 years older than me, and yada yada, everything's great 20 years later and all that. But on this Twitter thing, you're all like, ooh, I like this comment you had about the dog park, the witty thing I said, just mirroring your where are my dogs at. And then I give a fuller explanation. I'm seriously looking for my dogs. I'm not. I don't have any dogs. I have cats. Cats are the greatest. And you just like it. Like, what kind of nonsense do I need to puke out there for you to respond with some life-affirming comments or value? Please, let me know. Hit me up, dog. You got my number. You got my tweet box. Let me know.
That's really funny too. Like, people, you know, like I posted a very funny video with me and Basil, my little dog.
Yeah, that was the one I saw.
And I was like, you know, you have it brought. If you fuck with my family, you go through this dog. And Michael said something like, where are my dogs at? And I just liked it. And he's saying, how do I get some human response?
You got to have a better comment than that, Michael. That's what you got to have a better comment than that.
Not really, but
but you like everybody's com. You give everybody a little
I kind of like, yeah. What it is, Michael, is just, I guess sometimes just time. Like, I don't have time to respond a lot of times, so I just seem like this automaton. I'm responding now. We're playing your calls, and I like your calls a lot. Think you're funny, and that's an incredible life you lead. That's great. I'll hit you up on Twitter. I will come back at you. But I think it's basically the reason I don't, respond in full. Like, hey, you know, I'm just distracted, and it's not you, Mike. It's me. That's what I'm saying. Anyway, thank you so much for your call. Here's another one.
We got a lot of calls today.
Hey, Eddie. This is Michael Pinchera from Texas again, calling to see if you need anything from Barcelona. I'm going to be there later this week. Not to brag that I have a job that takes me to exotic foreign lands, but let me know if you need anything, and I'll see if I can pick it up on the way back. All right. Love you guys. That includes Lolly. It's like a lollipop, really, right? But that's still cool. I was raised in Florida, so I appreciate it, because that would equate to appreciation somehow. Whatever. All right. Good night, guys.
That was Michael again. We got a bunch of calls from Michael. Yes. What do I want from Barcelona? You know what I'd like from Barcelona, Michael? My biggest association with Barcelona is Manuel from Fawlty Towers. If you don't know it, check out Fawlty Towers. Basil Fawlty hires Manuel, who doesn't speak any English, and it's hilarious. Whenever he fucks up and there's another guest in the hotel, Basil plays the hotel owner. Anybody not seen Fawlty Towers? It's an amazing, amazing comedy. And he goes, if someone is watching Manuel fuck up, he goes, He's from Barcelona. Like, that explains why he's so fucked up. But what else could I get from Barcelona? Tell them to stop their fucking bullfighting. That's horrific. And you were bragging, Michael. You were bragging about, oh, I go to exotic locations. I haven't gone to Barcelona for work. Yeah, what else do I need from Barcelona? What would you say? What would you get from Barcelona from Michael? Anything?
No.
You can't think of anything?
No.
I don't know. Nice pair of jeans. All right. Thank you, Michael. And so, Steve, Thanksgiving. Is it a nice holiday for you?
I don't celebrate Thanksgiving.
Whoa. Are you serious?
I only celebrate Black Friday. That's the only. I get cards, too. I send out cards.
You what?
I send out cards. I get cards.
For Black Friday?
For Black Friday, yeah. I send them to all my white friends.
It would be funny if Black Friday was white people sending cards out for black leader, like, hey, happy Black Friday. And it's a picture of Malcolm X. You know what I mean? Like, happy Black Friday.
Yeah.
I really believe in what Malcolm said, that, you know, I believe that it shouldn't just be nonviolence. Malcolm differed from Martin Luther King.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And then you send
out
a Martin Luther King card.
To your more demure friends, they get the King, and your militant friends, they get them. Mine have a little picture of Drake on the front, and it says, I hope your Friday's blacker than this motherfucker's pretending to be.
You played the black club, so...
Yeah. So I can do that.
You can
do
that.
So it's okay.
You can do that. So Thanksgiving, big holiday.
What are you doing? What are you doing for Thanksgiving? I meant to ask you.
Me and my wife cook a vegan Thanksgiving together, and then we're going to go to a buddy's house on Friday who's got a whole big vegan Thanksgiving. Everybody brings a vegan dish.
Friendsgiving kind of a thing?
Yeah, on Friday. But Thursday, it's just me and the wife and the dogs, and we cook all this food. It's going to be a lot of eating.
You're going to watch some football, right?
Yeah. It bores the shit out of my wife, but I love watching. I have been watching a lot of football.
Me too.
Lately, and I don't know what it is. I think because, and everybody's doing this, the world is scary, and I'm just loving, like,
but you love football before
I've always
the world
loved football.
Was, I mean, you know, when you were a kid, right?
By the way, I want you to know that even though I watch football, at the same time I'm watching football, I mute the game and I listen to Noam Chomsky and Chris Hedges talk about the dissolution of our civilization. So it's not like I'm enjoying
the war game.
I'm not enjoying, because the NFL, the one thing I hate about NFL, and we've talked
very
about
very militarized.
Well, they're a commercial for fucking war.
Well, except now the players are kneeling. So,
but
that's
they're not
major.
Anymore, are they? Or they don't show the national anthem anymore.
They don't
anymore.
Show the national anthem. They're kneeling.
Oh,
they're not showing the national anthem.
I forgot. I realized they don't show the national anthem.
Yeah.
But my thing about sports is that I got into it as a kid, and I just love the New York sports teams, except the Knicks. They've been so bad for so long. So I'm not an NBA fan anymore.
Okay, so but you watch a little football on Thanksgiving, and your team's terrible.
And we make mashed potatoes. It's all vegan.
How do you make mashed potatoes? I'm
curious. Just potatoes with vegan butter.
Okay, so like the olive oil spread that they turn into butter. You use that stuff.
Yeah, whatever vegan butter there is.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, dairy industry is more brutal than the fucking meat industry. And people are like, oh, I can't give up my cheese. Well, read a little something about the dairy industry. You can't give up your cheese.
Thanks, Eddie. So what else? What else are you making?
Oh, yeah. So we make mashed potatoes, yams. We have cranberry sauce. We have stuffing. I love these are way too many carbs. I don't recommend it. Again, my lifestyle is born out of pain. It's, you know, I take on this weight for the human race. It's very Christ-like. So mashed potatoes, stuffing, cranberry sauce, some green beans, like veggies. And then we have like a tofurkey, which is you know, I don't even know what it's soy.
Right.
It's a soy product, and that has some stuffing in it too. And by the end, and then we buy. And I've been thinking about these pies because we don't get vegan pies a lot for obvious reasons for my health, even though.
Because what? It's full of chemicals or what? What's the deal with them?
No, just sugar.
Just sugar.
I eat too much sugar. But anyway, we bought a black cherry vegan pie and a pumpkin vegan pie. And my wife got coconut milk whipped cream, and it's really good. And I just keep thinking about the pies. Like, you know how I'm supposed to be
fantasizing.
Well,
about
I'm supposed to be thinking about how come there are no unions in this country? Why were they broken? Instead, no, why were the unions broken? How are we going to organize against this corporate dictatorship that we're under? But I'm still.
This is the reason.
Instead of thinking about that, I'm thinking about.
This is what stops revolutions.
It's true.
A guy who's just distracted by the coconut milk pie. Have you ever had the coconut milk ice cream? Not to stop more revolution.
Yeah, I've had all kinds of
that ice cream's so good. The almond
good.
Milk. Yeah.
Oh, good. Yeah. So that's great. We have a this will lead right into what we're talking about. One of our sponsors. This written by Matt Rossamoti. Is that how do you pronounce Matt's last name?
I think he doesn't mind. You can call him whatever you want as long as you say Matt.
What minute are we at, Emma? We're at 41 minutes. I'm just tired because I did a 2-hour podcast before this. You're seeing me tired, and yet you get this quality. Fuck you.
Tomorrow is going to be relaxed. You're just going to shoulder the burden or stomach the burden for what other people can't eat. It's going to be you and the cats and the dogs and Karen.
Do you think about what you're grateful for?
Big time, dude.
You do?
Big time. I'm thinking.
Let's hear what you're grateful for.
I'm grateful for you. I'm grateful for meeting you. We've known each other about a year and a half now?
Yeah.
A year and a half? Yeah.
We met in the Comedy Store parking lot with
Sam Tripoli, who was in here earlier. Mm-hmm. And
there was one other comic there.
It was just you and me, dude, and him. Okay. And then he was on a rant. He was ranting.
Well, he was saying you should post on YouTube every day, do rants. Sam is good.
Yeah, and so I'm thankful for that. And I'm thankful for being alive. I got hit head on by happened to me. And, you know, I'm alive. Mm-hmm. I walked out of a hospital. I could be dead. I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful my family's really healthy. Mm. You know, everybody. I'm doing good. I had a good year. What about you? What are you grateful for?
I'm grateful for... what am I grateful for? I'm grateful for my family. I'm really grateful for my sister, my wife, my two dogs, two out of the three cats. I'm grateful for one of them is a pain in the ass. I'm grateful for having enough money to eat well tomorrow. I'm grateful for all the good people in the world. I'm grateful for the strength I've been given. Gratitude. By the way, why we're doing this is gratitude is such an important thing. And I often am not grateful. You're more grateful than me. But I often live in fear. You know, I was talking earlier too about, you know, being loving and being kind. And what stops me is that I feel very threatened a lot, you know, and it's kind of from the past and it's in my head. And I've been getting into political fights on Facebook, and that makes me feel, just Facebook basically. But I've been posting controversial things, and I don't know, you know, I just kind of feel like speaking out about things, you know.
Right.
But then when people come at me and people I know, I just feel unnerved by it, and it rattles me. And
you have to engage? Do you feel like you have to get?
I feel like yesterday I did. Most of the times I don't. And I keep putting up stuff about the military industrial prison complex we live in instead of, you know, jokes, instead of funny things with me and my dog, you know. And I feel like sometimes it needs to be said and stuff, you know. But then when people come at me, I had to block a couple of people, you know, their vitriol is nasty. And you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And it's like not a fun thing when it gets nasty.
Well, sometimes you do it, like I notice with myself, sometimes I'll take swings at the air when I'm in a bad mood. And when I'm not in a bad mood, when shit's going well, I will not, it's like when things aren't going quite well and that gratitude's not there, I'll want to pick a fight.
Mm.
I'll want to pick a fight. Like I'm, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And then when things are going well, those things won't bother me. Like if someone tries to pick a fight with me on Facebook over some shit.
It'll be like, nah, I'm not getting involved.
No. I'm too happy right now. I'm not stupid enough to
do
that.
Right. And part of me is very impish. I use the word impish because I've been watching Richard II by the Royal Shakespeare Company.
Really?
Yeah. And by the way, that's another thing you folks don't do. You don't watch the Royal Shakespeare Company. And you know what? I'm grateful that you don't, because if you weren't on a lower level than me, I couldn't be saying this now. But I say I'm an imp. I say I'm an imp, which means someone who likes to stir things up, or a tumbler.
Right.
Yeah, a tumbler. Like, I like to stir things
but
up.
But you know, as the Christians say, the spirit moves you this way or that way.
Mm.
I think when it's time to stand up for the right thing, the spirit will move you.
That's true.
You're not somebody who's a pushover, I don't think. Neither am I, really.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So
no.
We'll know when it is. It's just my evil inclination is to want to pick a fight. To want to go at somebody. So I have
to resist
that.
Me too,
so,
yeah. I think everybody, it's primal. It's like, you know.
No, there's people who are different than us.
That's true. And you know who you are. Scream cream ice cream sandwiches. Thanksgiving is a time for family. And one thing every member of your family can agree on is ice cream. Scream Cream ice cream sandwiches have something for everyone, and nothing will settle a family dispute faster than a mouth chock full of dairy goodness like Cashew Caravan, Making Amaretto Great Again, Vanilla Sprinkle Incest Cake, Sour Patch Kids in Cages, Grab 'em by the Pussy Batter. These are flavors of ice cream. One bite of these scrumptious treats and even your staunchest family member will have to agree. Scream Cream ice cream is xenophobalicious. And if your family can't decide if Trump is a great president or the greatest president, settle. Okay, hold on. And if your family can't decide if Trump is a great president or the greatest president, settle the score with Scream Cream's 14-pound wall around the state's ice cream cake. A mint chocolate marvel with a 6-inch fudge wall around the continental United States that plays Ted Nugent's 20-minute rendition of the Star Spangled Banner at an ear-splitting and argument-winning volume. Make Scream Cream ice cream the centerpiece of your Thanksgiving holiday. Thank you, Matt Rossimoto. And it's a delicious...
It's especially funny after you just got done ranting about the dairy industry that we got this ad.
Yeah. Really good stuff. But that's the way it goes, you know? And I don't mind being the person who has to do that. Are you going anywhere for Thanksgiving, or what are you doing?
I'm going to some friends from...
Nice.
Going to some friends, got invited somewhere for Thanksgiving. Not to brag that I get invited to Thanksgiving.
Yeah, how's the getting laid? Let's cut to the chase.
Well,
how is the getting laid thing going?
I met a girl, you know, and I've been courting
someone
her.
I don't know about, or someone I do know.
You
about?
Do know about?
Okay,
her,
so you met a girl. You've been courting her.
Yeah.
By the way, courting. Steve is old school. He courts women, which means he goes. He's below their window, and he is saying, he is spouting poetry. Right? You are like. It'd be funny if you were like spouting Bukowski.
Yeah.
The mailman tried to fuck my wife. Like, that would be a very funny thing. Like you're below a window, but you only like Bukowski.
I'm below the window going, there are worse things than being alone. But sometimes it takes decades to realize this. And when you do, it's too late. And
what's
there's
that from?
Nothing worse than too late. That's Bukowski.
Oh, that's Bukowski. Yeah,
that's what I'm.
Isn't that a funny idea? Like Charles Bukowski, like you're old school courting, but the only poetry you spout up to the window where your girlfriend is
Bukowski.
Is Bukowski. Yeah, it'd be funny. And you, I've seen you just old school courting. Steve, you know, approaches suit and tie with flowers, like in the Glass Menagerie, and someone who answers the door is broken, a broken spirit. If you don't know what I'm talking about, read Tennessee Williams. I read his biography, which was amazing, by John Lahr. John Lahr, L-A-H-R. He's the son of Burt Lahr. John Lahr. The son of Burt Lahr, who played the Cowardly Lion. And he's an amazing writer. He wrote Prick Up Your Ears, a biography about Joe Wharton, a playwright in Britain who got killed by his lover, gay. They were gay men. His lover, Kenneth Halliwell, beat him to death with a hammer. And Joe Wharton was a great... I loved him, a comic playwright. You know Joe Wharton? He doesn't. You don't. Because, you know, I wanted to be a playwright. I still do. I never... that's my dream.
Really? Really? That was your dream, to be a playwright?
Yes. Mm-hmm. I wrote 3 one-act
plays. You've mastered something much more difficult than that. You understand?
Really?
Yeah.
Stand-up?
Yeah. And the way you do it.
Oh, God.
Listen, most comics get on, they recite a routine.
Can I read this? Writer Duet, a real sponsor, written by Matt Rossimoto. They are a real sponsor. Cyber Monday is only a few days, so get ready to save big when you order a lifetime subscription. Sorry, folks, I'm tired. Oh, God. I'm going to start again. Cyber Monday is only a few days, so get ready to save big when you order a lifetime subscription to Writer Duet using the link in the podcast description. I know what you're thinking. Holy shit, after years of being a final draft slave, I can now move to an online script writing solution that works equally well on my desktop as on my mobile device. God must exist. And when you buy Writer Duet from our link, you can have it for just $149. What was this about saving big, US? Don't worry about it. I safely lead you this far into the ad. Didn't I lead you this far into the ad? Misspelled here by Matt. And in just a few short words, this ad will be over and you can go about your business. What if I fast forward the podcast, you say? Let me tell you, the kind of person who fast forwards a podcast doesn't deserve Writer Duet, no matter what the cost. You're a bad decision maker, the kind of person who would try and fast forward past this ad, but completely overshoot it. Now you have rewound too far, you moron, and you have to listen to the end of the ad again. Write a duet. Just buy this fucking thing. We haven't seen any money from them yet.
No, but if you use Write a Duet for 20 years, you'll realize that you're a failed writer, and in that time it will drive you like it drove Eddie Pepitone to become a stand-up comedian.
Thank you, Steve. So we want to wish everybody a happy holiday. Let's see. What else? I'll announce a little tour that might come to fruition soon. You could see me at the Comedy Store in Los Angeles, except for Thanksgiving week. I take that off. I am going to be performing, though, at Flappers. Flappers Comedy Club in Burbank. If you happen to be in Burbank, Friday, 10 o'clock show. That's this Friday, which would be November 23rd.
This Friday, 3rd, yeah.
November 23rd.
What time?
And it'll be 10 o'clock at Flappers in Burbank if you happen to be around here, the LA area. And if you happen to be in LA, in Silver Lake, where all the hipsters are, I'll be at the Great Neil Hamburger Show at the Satellite. Really cool place. Really cool place. Mostly rock bands, but Neil does a monthly show there. And it's 9 o'clock Sunday, the 25th of November. So those are my two gigs. And I'll be at the Improv next Thursday night. What about you, Stevie?
I don't have anything coming up. I'm taking some time off. But I did get booked for the 2019 Los Angeles Stand-Up Comedy Festival. I'll be featured in that festival, which is, I think, May or June of next year. So listen out for that. That's kind of a exciting little
that's great.
You know, thing to it'll be in Los Feliz.
And please like the podcast, you know, rate it on iTunes, watch it on YouTube. I'll send the link out again for this episode. Just watch us on YouTube. Comment it on YouTube. Let's make pep talks a national treasure. We need the money. And I think, you know, we have a good message here. You know, it goes from anger to kindness to love, and then exposing the military industrial prison complex that we live in. All right.
Not necessarily always in that order, but yeah.
Thanks, everybody. See you next week.